20:26. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Keep your Bible open. Hosea 11:7. My people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad, rejoice, give honor to him. That's that word exalt. And exalt him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. From bookend to bookend, we are called to exalt Jesus. One thing we'll be doing in heaven, those of you that follow Christ, we'll be worshiping God and exalting his name forever. So if we're going to do that when we're there, and we ought to be doing it now, then it probably should be something we're doing in 2026. And I want to help you. I want to lead you and encourage you to exalt Jesus. Would you pray, Father, work in our hearts. Thrill us with the mission. Make us committed to you. And for those that are here today, maybe we've never asked you to save them from their sins and followed you, I pray the day they do that. I pray the day they'd be convicted of their sin, convinced of the truth of the Scripture, and then they would have the courage to follow you. And I pray for those who are on the outside and the periphery, and Lord, they're spectators, I pray they'd be workers. I pray, Father, that those who have let their worship cool, they would be red hot on fire for you. I pray for those who've made excuses, that God, you take care of their excuses. And for those, Lord, who've gotten church hurt and are struggling, I pray even now you'd whisper peace to them, that there can be a fresh start and there can be new steps. Oh, Lord, I pray you do that. Help me speak clearly, enunciate well. I pray that you be honored and glorified this morning. Father, I need you. Help me focus now. And I pray you'd draw us and point us to Christ. I ask all this in your Son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I want to exalt Jesus in 2026. And I hope you've got that. If you've got the app, HardinValleyChurch.com/APP, you can download. You can look at the notes. That'll be helpful to you. But I hope you'll follow along. I hope you'll take good notes, because I'm going to ask for a commitment at the end. I'm going to ask for you to make that commitment to exalt Jesus in 2026, to lift him up, to magnify him. There's a couple of questions that are there, and I hope this will help you. What does it mean there? What does it mean? Of course, like I said, we've been trying to preach this for about 3 weeks now, and I said, Andre, this is what I'm preaching on. She says, what does it mean to exalt? What does it mean to exalt? I said, well, you know, you went to Bible college, and you've been a pastor's wife all these years. And she said, yeah, but what does it mean? What does it mean to exalt? And I thought, well, if Andre doesn't know what it means, and I'm saying all this because Allison's in here, if Andre doesn't know what it means, maybe we need a little help on this. And I'm just being tongue-in-cheek here because Allison's texting her mother, and that I'm being mean to Andre. What does it mean? It can mean a couple of things here. It can mean to lift up. We understand that. You win an award. When your team wins an award, they have a ceremony and they lift up the banner. When you exalt someone, some of you that have siblings, you know what it means to have your sibling preferred over you. And maybe that's the favorite one, or maybe you're the favorite one, and you go nan nanny boo boo because you're the baby or whatever. You do that. We understand what it means. It can mean contextually, I'm doing my best to make Jesus great. I've been around people, man, and I jokingly told somebody one time they were eating an ice cream cone. I said, I'd love for somebody to look at me the way you're looking at that ice cream cone. Man, you're eating that thing like you've never had anything any better, and you never have anything better yet. Man, I love that. When you talk about Jesus, when you talk about your Bible, when it's those kind of times, are you making Jesus great to anybody else? Exalt can mean to make Jesus great. It can mean just simply to increase. Man, that's so good. Give me a little bit more of that. Man, that's so amazing. I love just more. To Jesus, is Jesus to you somebody you want more of? It's fine to have 70 minutes of him on a Sunday every so often, but is Jesus increasing in your life? See, a bigger part of your life than he was yesterday, bigger part of your life in 2025. Are you asking him to be a bigger part of your life now? It can mean increase. It can mean simply to make him the focus, the centerpiece. Jeff York, longtime leader in out west, that's the way he describes it. To make him the focus, the centerpiece. It'd be a silly thing to go to a wedding and the bride wouldn't be the centerpiece, the focus. It's an odd thing, even negatively, if you go to a funeral and nobody talks about the decedent in the casket. we understand what it means to be the focus. We do it this way. Most of you, if you go to your house and you go to the room with the television is the focus of the room. It's there on purpose. You want it to be easy and obvious that the purpose of this room is to watch whatever's on the tube. Jesus is to be the focus, the centerpiece in our lives. What I'm calling you to do is to make sure that Jesus grows in your life this year, that he increases in your life this year, that you magnify him to others, and that people, when they look at your life and they evaluate Jesus because of you, that they say, man, that has got to be a wonderful Savior because of the way they talk about and treat the one they say they loved. If you're desiring that for your life, say amen. I want to exalt the Lord. I want to exalt the Lord. Well, practically, what does that mean? Your Bibles are open, and just flip with me for a second. We're not going to turn a lot of passages, but I want you to see a couple of these here. Go to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, and I'm aware of the clock, and I'm going to be real close here, but I want you to get this in your mind. You can have the synonyms there. Ed Good, one of our home mission, our mission church planners, he says exalting Jesus is making the real Jesus impossible to ignore. I love that. That's their theme, by the way, every year there in Champaign, Illinois. Making the real Jesus impossible to ignore. You could say glorify, that works for exalt. You could say magnify, that works for exalt. John Piper says, don't just think of exalt, always compound it. Always think about it as Christ exalting. I want to have a Christ exalting job. I want to have a Christ-exalting family. I want to make sure that my entertainment is Christ-exalting. I want to make sure that my finances look like that they are Christ-exalting. And I think that's a good way to look at it. That because you compound it. It's not just exalt as a verb, but it's that modifier. What I do is Christ-exalting. It's Christ-exalting. Say, where do you find that? We find that in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling, here we go, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That good pleasure there, that's the work there is the same idea, that's the work there. But the things that I do, the good pleasure, his plans and the work of faith with power. I want God to do all these things. Why? Verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Is God glorified in how you live? God glorified in how you talk? God glorified in how you spend your money, how you spend your time? Is God a nice afterthought and an accessory? Is he a little dangly chain that clips on the side of your purse? Is he just an extra pocket knife with a deep clip, carry clip that you've got there that's just a nice accessory? That he may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I'll be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ shall be magnified, exalted in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether I live or I die, I want Jesus to be made magnified. I like to say it like this, make much of Jesus. I want us to make much of Jesus in 2026. By the way, I don't think that's a great theme. I think that's a good daily principle. You and I make much of King Jesus. King Jesus, we are to exalt him. We are to exalt him. How can we exalt the Lord? How can we exalt the Lord? How can we do that? How can we make sure that we're doing it? What's some practical ways that you and I can do that? You still with me? Say amen. That's some practical ways. Anybody like me? Tell me what to do, then give me some steps on how to do it, right? You got your program. You can fill these in, and then we're going to work through these, and probably at least one more sermon, maybe two, but we're going to do it. But let me give you the 5,000-foot view. Number one, you and I need to worship. If you're going to exalt the Lord, we need to worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Most of you, your study Bibles, your reference Bibles, got a little asterisk there. That word reasonable service is the word we get worship from. You worship God with how you live. There's to be public worship. This is what we're doing now, right? We call it corporate worship or public worship. All of you checking the scores and all of you goofing around on your phones, you're not worshiping. You're just being distracted. Somebody say amen. And so you that are distracting other people, God will hold you accountable for it. I wouldn't do it if it was me. You're just in good shape that I'm kind. I don't call you out. And so we need to publicly worship. public work. It's important. It's not just if I can fit it in, man. It's mandatory. It's obligatory. It's exaltatory. I get to do this and come together and we sing the praises of God. We hear the word of God, worship. We say the word of God together. We pray together. You walking out with a wristband today. Here's somebody I get to pray for. And most of it's a treasure hunt. And I have no idea who this person is. But maybe I can figure them out. But Jesus knows who they are, and I'm going to pray for them this month because I get to, and it's a joy to do that because we're worshiping together. It need to be private worship. I always joke, I always laugh. People say, you know, I'm just not getting fed at your church. And I find out, man, they hadn't read their Bible, you know, since last Sunday. And they had to find it Sunday, you know, to get to church. No, not my job to feed you 7 days a week. It's your job to learn how to eat. Somebody say amen. Man, you need to worship. You need to worship privately. Privately. It's an amazing thing to me, man. Folks start reading their Bible, start praying, I become a better preacher. Folks that meet in there in the morning for the prayer time before the service, man, they get in there and they pray. They get in there and pray, man. All of a sudden, man, the services get a lot better. Not because anything the service changed, but because they changed. They changed. You will not work for Jesus till you learn how to worship. It's the most miserable people in the world, man, chafe. But a worshiping heart turns into a working heart. Somebody said, what do we need? I said, we need evangelism. We need discipleship. We need volunteers. We need all these kind of things. But beyond all that, we need worshipers. When I worship, man, it's easy. I've rarely had to be arm twisted to do anything for my wife or my family. I might have grumbled while I was doing that just because I like to hear myself complain. But I love my wife and I love my family. It ain't no big deal. Riley's car was dirty yesterday. We ran it through the wash, wiped off the windshield, all those kind of things. He said, thanks, Dad. I said, no big deal, man. I love you. I love you. And you had so much salt on there, you know, it's starting to grow crystals, you know, and we'll get that off. And we got Andre's car cleaned up and all. And we'll get those kind of things. And we'll give Allison $20. She'll run it through the wash when she gets back home in Charlotte and do those kind of things. It's no bother to do things for people that you love. It ought not to be a bother to do things for the God we say we love. And service, if it precedes worship, is tough and laborious. And if it follows worship, it is joyful because I get to do for Jesus after all he's done for me. If you're going to exalt Jesus, man, you need to learn to worship. If you believe that, say amen. Then worship, then there's work. John 14:15. Circle that on your notes there if you would. Make sure you look that up. I'll read it to you for time's sake. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father. I'll love him. He'll manifest myself to him. Man, to work for God, to obey him, I don't have to pray about being a witness. I'm commanded to be a witness. I don't have to pray about living holy. I'm commanded to live holy. I don't have to pray about reading my Bible. I'm commanded to read my Bible and to pray. When I worship, man, it makes work easy. By the way, and I can work for Jesus. Those of you who are in the adult classes and the teen classes and all today, they talked about Daniel having an excellent spirit and an excellent work ethic. The testimony that you have at work, man, amplifies Jesus or it diminishes Jesus. Don't be inviting people, man, and you can't be found to work. You're hiding out everywhere. Nobody knows where you are. You're the mystery employee. Don't be that way. His work is more important than my leisure. I don't know we believe that. I think it's easier to say than it is to do. I asked this question, and I almost took it out because I don't mean to be caustic. I don't really mean. But if you stop what you were doing for Jesus, would anybody know? Would it matter? Would it be a problem? We were strategizing about the nursery. That room we're in now is full, and we need to split it. We need to, the littles here and the other ones across the hall, trying to figure out the worker situation, all that. And I said, I'd be glad to take a Sunday, but one of you is going to have to come up here and yell at everybody. And, you know, and it helps if you're bald. And and they're like, no, you'll be missed. And I said, would I? you know, what do we do? We need to figure that out. Figure that out. You and I want what I do for Jesus to matter. Whether that's filling up the napkins, whether that's working on the website, whether that's inviting someone, whether that's greeting people when it's freezing outside or 102 degrees. I want to do something for Jesus that matters. Whatever that is, and again, I know stages of life changes, so whatever stage of life you're in, let me find something to do for Jesus that matters. Let me work for Him. Don't let me just spectate. And again, I said it earlier, I don't mean to belabor that, but all of you have had the church hurt and been disappointed. I'm so sorry for you. I pray with you that there'll be a time where you'll be able to serve with joy. I want you to do that. But some of us, that's not our problem. Our problem's just, man, it looks like work. It is work, but it's work for the Master. Work for the Master. And working for the Master is an act of worship, because I've already said I love with Him. I get to do that for Him. Number three, I want to stay there. Say that we'll come back to that. You need to witness. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. If you worship, by the way, if you worship, witnessing's easier. We cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm always thrilled for that last verse, last part of the verse. I'm glad, because I'm not Jewish. I'm glad that He died and rose again and sent the gospel to people like me. If you're glad for that, say amen. This is my ambition, He says, to be a witness. When Jesus is lifted up in your personal life, when Jesus is lifted up in your public life, then witnessing will be really natural. Really natural. Your body functions as a lens that brings Jesus into focus for others, making Him larger and more present than distant history. Warren Wiersbe. When people see you, Jesus ought to be real to them. He ought to be real to them. You and I can be a witness. When unbelievers observe us navigating in a crisis, they witness the magnitude of His power and His relevance. This isn't passive. It's about letting your response to difficulty reveal Christ's efficiency. How's your invitation life? Is the Jesus you serve worth inviting others to know? To witness. Anybody besides me know people with spiritual needs? Lost people, unchurched people. You're not being critical. You're not being judgmental. Wouldn't it be great this year? You and I have a part in them coming to Christ. Wouldn't it be great every month, people following Christ, making their public profession of faith? Wouldn't it be great? God saying, because you have lifted me up, you have magnified me, you have made me great in the eyes of others, they want the same Jesus that you serve. Be a witness. You're still with me? Say amen. And then weakness. All right, preacher, you got me. I get worship. Kind of expected that one. I get work. Yeah. We need volunteers. I get witness. Way to make me feel guilty. But weakness? What's weakness? What are you talking about? John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I was talking to Mr. David. Let me rephrase that, since there's five Davids in the room. I was talking to Mr. Anderson. I was asking him about his physical therapy. I said, did they tell you nose over toes? He went, yeah, he did. And Elizabeth said, and he's not doing it. And I'm like, scold me? I'm leaving. And I said, it's tough. It's annoying for a grown man to be told by another grown man, nose over toes. That's how you get out of the chair. Those of you who've had physical therapy, those of you back surgery, different things, you know, they start you off. Here's how you get out of the chair. Which, again, as an adult, is an annoying thing to be told how to do. But you don't really, you got to teach in your body again how to do it. In the weakness, all right, you got to do this. I told him the craziest thing they ever did. They gave me a beach ball. I said, now you got to get up out of the chair without using your hands. I'm like, you know, and 10 minutes later, through the tears, I'm like, I got up. And I mean, that thing was awful. It was awful. I was getting out of the chair last night, and I got out of the chair, and I'm like, I stopped, and I caught myself, because I had the conversation with David and Elizabeth, and I caught myself, and I went, thank you, Jesus, I can get out of the chair. In your weakness, you can exalt Christ. Your weakness and our weakness will grow this church. Here's what weakness says. You with me? You still with me? Weakness says, I need you. No, I don't need that church. I don't need to be there Wednesday. I don't need to be in group. I don't need to be in Sunday school. I don't need to learn anybody's name. I need to slip in and slip out. That's strength. That's pride. That's strength. Weakness says, I need you. I need you. You need me. 1 Corinthians 12, we don't have time to turn there. I need you, you need me, we need each other. That's what weakness says. I need you. I need you to pray. Lupe Reitman needs this church to pray. She had an emergency craniotomy Thursday. All the things going on, man. We get that medical emergency, but you and I need it. We need each other. You and I are meant for the family of God together. Weakness says, I need to pray. You can go, oh me or oh yay. But I'm telling you, if you don't see the need to pray in your life, that is not strength. That is not a position of weakness. That is a position of spiritual pride. You and I need to pray. Whether you do it the way I'm prescribing it or not, you and I need to pray. Prayer says, God, I am insufficient. You are sufficient. Prayer says, I am not enough, but you are enough. Prayer says, this is too big for me. Prayer acknowledges that. Daddy, God, I need you. Weakness says, I need to pray. You still with me? Weakness says, I will give generously of my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony, all those things. I will give generously and count on you to provide. If I do this, man, that's time I'm not doing something else. But I believe that God will make that up. And as I give, and man, our finances are tight and things are messy and I'm not real good with that. But I want to give as an act of worship to God. And I believe and count on the fact that God will provide. God will provide. I believe that. I believe that. Weakness says I'll give generously. Count on God to provide. Weakness says that these times are not optional. I said it a few weeks ago. I'll say it again. I don't ever beat up on anybody who works late, etc. Can't be at a service or something. You're fine. You don't need to apologize to me. You don't need to justify it. But if you're at home watching Wheel of Fortune, you ought to be here praying for people. You ought to be here rejoicing in the saints. You ought to be here hearing the word. Because prayer time, these are the people that I need, that I want to take to the throne of God. These are the people who need Christ. These are the people, man, prayer time cannot be optional for us. Prayer time says, I need fellowship. I need fellowship. I was laughing. Somebody said, I can't believe you're having the Super Bowl thing with Bad Bunny. I'm like, man, if you think Pastor Rodney is watching Bad Bunny, you know, I got beachfront property somewhere in Nashville. I'll be glad to sell you. I'm watching Bad Bunny. I didn't watch the last one and watch the rest of them, you know. I barely tell you who's done any of those kind of things. I don't even care who's playing. I just want to be together. I want to be together. And we'll figure out an excuse to meet in March or April. And we'll do something. And then we'll get together for Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And all any excuse we can have to be together. My wife and I set up our budget so every week we have money set aside. Usually we don't go out and do anything. We save the money, and we're going to go out and eat with some of you. We have a list. We go through. We check off, and we're trying to work our way through because it matters to us that we get to know you because I need fellowship just like you do. That's why we encourage the groups and all these kind of things. Weakness says, man, I need you. I want to do life together. I want to rejoice that Haley's having another baby. I want to be thrilled. I'd have got a good report in her last checkup. I want to do this. I want to see Amanda come to Christ and Scott come to Christ and Allie come to Christ and Jacob come to Christ. I want to rejoice in Chad and Diana making their public profession of faith and being publicly baptized. And we clapping because they got a little 20-cent certificate. Because they follow Jesus. Weakness says, I need fellowship. I love the ending, the little Christian movie, Courageous. You can look right at me. It's one of my favorite movies the Kendrick brothers have done. If you've never watched it, you'd be delighted. It's a great little movie. He's focusing on men, particularly in fathers, but it ends up with a broader theme. as he talks about what we will do. And he ends there in kind of a call to things, that I will serve the Lord. He said, there are some men who, because of their past mistakes, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past or what our fathers didn't do for us, we'll give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children, families, and co-workers to do the same. We'll love and mentor others. He said, we're inviting anyone whose heart is willing and courageous to join us. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. Oh, by the way, all you single folks, same for you. You don't ask who will teach others to follow Jesus, I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing for those in my household, I will. Who will break the chains of destructive patterns in my family history, I will. Who will bless my children and my nieces and nephews and relatives, who will bless them, I will. God has called me to this. I accept this responsibility. I embrace this privilege. I want the favor of God and His blessing on me and on my home as anyone does. Where are you? Where are you, church family? Where are you, men, women, married, single, single again, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles? Where are you who fear the Lord? Let me rephrase. Where are you, those who want to exalt Jesus? It's time to rise up, answer His call, and say, I will. I will. I will exalt Jesus in 2026. I will worship. I will work. I will witness. And I will model weakness. I will exalt Jesus. Would you pray with me? We don't do this very often, but I'm asking for all of you who will to respond. If your life is very consistent and this is normal for you to exalt Jesus, then you're just continuing the way you're going. For some of you, and you're a little off course, today's a good day to make a course adjustment. I want to exalt Jesus. For those of you who are here and you're on the outside looking in and you're interested in Jesus, maybe you're concerned